That was beautiful, and all the music here has been amazing. Thank you to Pastor Scott for allowing me to speak here today. What an honor to get to speak here. I was at Dallas Theological Seminary sharing with some of my colleagues that I was going to be talking here, and they said, "Where are you going?" I said, "East White Oak Bible Church in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois." And one guy said, "Man, that's a lot of words." But we flew up here from Dallas where it was 86 degrees yesterday. And I have never seen so many leaves in all my life. Y'all like your leaves here. Wow. We got a few leaves, but not like that. And now Jim here, I got to talk about Jim Simmons sitting right here. He invited me here. He was persuasive, I got to tell you. He called and said, "Paul, you'll love the Oak, and you'll be amazed at what God is doing in our midst. And I read your book on how we don't just grow individually in Christ, we grow as a community, and you got to go up there and speak." So we emailed back and forth a couple times and phoned a couple times, and he convinced me. He recruited me. And then he said, after about the third or fourth visit, "There's just one thing. I won't be there, but you'll love it." So Jim is here. He was in Houston even late last night and got in at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And Jim is studying with us at Dallas Seminary on our Houston campus. So the only person this morning who has any permission to sleep is Jim, okay? He's the only one. Now, in Houston, since we're speaking of Houston, they had recently the World Series. Any World Series fans here? Just two, okay? Well, they won the World Series. And I know the Cubs won a few years ago, I know. And my Kansas City Royals won a few years before that. But I was in Houston on the day of one of the final games, and I thought, oh no, the traffic's going to be terrible. But the game was in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. So guess what? The highways opened up for me, and they were empty. Everyone in Houston was at home watching their beloved Houston Astros. And they've come a long way in a couple of years. One person told me that their nickname for many years has been the Lastros. The Houston Lastros. And then they won it all. Now, how did they do that? With teamwork. It took each player on the team to win. And you know, they had Hurricane Harvey. They had the hurricane in Houston. And all this year, that team has been fighting and fighting for the people of Houston. And one guy even had a promotion. He's a crazy, you know, salesman of mattresses. And he said, "If you buy a mattress this year and the Houston Astros win the World Series, I'll just give it to you." And they had thousands and thousands of people that bought a mattress with the hope that the Astros would win the World Series, and they won. And those people are all lined up to get their free mattresses. And teamwork is what made the Astros win it all. Now, how many of you remember your beloved Chicago Bears? Do you remember 1985? Was anybody around then? Okay, a few, yes. 1985, the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't think we've ever had rap music here at the Oak. But the Super Bowl Shuffle, that was their theme song. And some people are nodding. Okay, good. 1985, they got on a roll and they started winning. And that year, the Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears went 15-1. 15 wins and only one loss. How does that happen? Teamwork. Jim McMahon, the quarterback, he knew his place. Mike Singletary, the middle linebacker, he knew his role. Willie Gault, that great wide receiver, he knew his role on the team, and he knew what he was going to have to do to build unity on that team. And that great running back, the late Walter Payton, he ran all over the field. How many of you would like to watch a little bit of the Super Bowl Shuffle? Let's see some hands, okay? Let's do that. Let's listen to the Super Bowl Shuffle. Now, this will take you back. This is not like today's rap music, okay? Just listen. 19. Oh my, that's enough, right? I always ask, whenever I show a video clip, I always ask, how many of you would rather listen to the rest of that video, and how many of you would rather hear the rest of this sermon? I won't ask that. But that was recorded the day after their only loss of the season. Interesting side note, huh? They lost the day before to the Miami Dolphins. And that song actually went on to sell 500,000 copies. You know who you are. Okay, some of you. And the Super Bowl Shuffle became a hit song in America. It was an early, early form of rap for some of you young people. And it caught on. And people started kind of urging and willing the Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears to keep on winning. And in fact, they had one guy that weighed like 600 pounds. His name was The Fridge. You remember him? The Fridge. And every once in a while, they'd put him in at the two-yard line, and he would just carry the rest of the team into the end zone. Everybody knew The Fridge was in the game, but he would still just plow through and score. And then one time, he stopped at the one-yard line and threw it, and the guy was wide open. Why? Because everybody in the stadium thought he was going to run over the two-yard line. Again, why do I tell that story? Every person here this morning has an important role to play in this missionary endeavor. Each of you. And I know, some of you are saying, you know, it's missions week. This is for those people that go to India. I don't have anything to do with going to Asia or Africa. This is not for me. But by the time you walk out these wooden doors right here, you'll be convinced that you too have a role to play in God's worldwide program. Some of you don't like sports. I know. I find that hard to believe, but some of you don't like sports. I've got another illustration, and this one is of a barn raising. In England, they call it a barn rearing or a raising bee. And it goes back to the 18th century, where it was too difficult for one farmer to build his own barn. It would have taken all summer. So he would invite neighbors in, and they would help. And then they would reciprocate that later by helping you build your barn. And everybody had a role to play. Some people built the wooden trusses. Some people helped lay the rock. Some people helped with the roof. Some people brought lunch. Amen for those people that bring lunch. Let's watch a little bit of that as well and see how interesting this is. I think you get the picture. I was watching this last week before I sent it up to these guys, and there's one point where they all stop. And I was like, lunch break, you know? Why do I show that video clip again? What's your role? What's your role? We might show it again at the end. Hold on. What's your role? If you were on this barn raising, would you know your role? In the body of Christ, we all have a part to play. Every one of you. That's why I'm slowing down here and emphasizing this for you. I don't want any one of you to leave and go, this missionary endeavor, this is not for me. This goal of Jesus Christ being proclaimed all over the earth, this is not for me. Now, we've got the fill in the blanks. I know some of you love the fill in the blanks and some of you hate the fill in the blanks. Okay? I'm okay with that. But we did want you to have that in your bulletin so you can follow along and fill those in if you want. If you don't have the bulletin, you can write on your husband's arm. We want everybody to be able to see this if possible. What is the opening image here that we emphasized? Teamwork. That's your first fill in the blank. Teamwork. It takes teamwork to make the dream work. You can't win the World Series without some event like a hurricane or teamwork where every unit comes together. You can't win the Super Bowl without the Super Bowl shuffle. Or each player on the team learning what their gift is and learning how they contribute. Where there's a really losing team, lots of losing, you'll find out sometimes that there was a bad attitude. Or there was some selfishness. Oh, I'm the star of this team. Or there were some people that didn't think they needed to contribute. Well, I don't really ever have a part to play on this team. But when things are working well, and that event is moving forward, every person knows their role, and there's teamwork going on, and that's why that second line should be, I am one player on a larger team. That's the attitude that you and I need. I am one player on a larger team. I'm an important player, but I'm not the only player. Now, especially here in North America, we have this danger of a private Christianity, an individualized Christianity, and that is not the way God has set up the church. We get to reading books like Me and My Bible, and we think, yeah, that's what this is all about, just a private life of me and God, no one else. And we read books like You and Your Walk with Jesus, and it becomes so individualized and so private. It's just about me, right? I don't really need to involve other people. But the New Testament always uses that plural, you, and it means y'all. It means all of us. Whenever you see you in the New Testament, it means you, you people, you group of people there. It doesn't mean you individually. And so you'll need to evaluate your own walk. Have I become individualized lately? Have I become private in my walk with Christ? Am I contributing here to the greater body at the Oak? What's my role here? Look at this service. Look how much work it takes to pull this off. When we pulled up this morning, there was greeters at the door. Guy said, good morning, good morning. There were people in the kitchen already. There were Sunday school teachers I saw preparing, getting ready for their class. There's people here playing stringed instruments. There's people in the back running the sound. There's soloists. There's people who volunteer here at the church. And sometimes we get to thinking, I don't have a role to play here. You're needed here. Or the opposite, we get to thinking too highly of ourselves. Well, this choir wouldn't be any good without me. I hope the light is shining on me today good. She's a little flat and he's a little sharp, but I'm right on pitch again. And we laugh. Why? Because it's a laughter of identification. We do get to thinking like that, don't we? Well, we're going to see what the Apostle Paul says about that. Out of all these things that we could do, should I play the strings? Should I play the flute? Should I be a greeter in the parking lot, especially like today when it's raining? Should I get onto the rake and run team? What should I do? There's so many things I could do. I could get involved with Rural Home Missionary Association. I could get involved with Family Life out of Little Rock, Arkansas. I could jump in with Pastor Larry, and I could jump in with the team down at Living Stone. Amen? The Hub. What should we do? How do we know what to do? The Apostle Paul is going to tell us in Romans chapter 12. If you have a copy of the scriptures in front of you, turn to Romans chapter 12, and we can get a little bit of a feel for what should we dedicate ourselves to? What should be the attitude that we have in this body of Christ? The attitude that Christ uses. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, whenever you see the word therefore, you always ask what? What it's there for? Wow, I knew you guys would know the right answer. This is a historic church that for many, many years has been focused on being on mission for God. So many missionaries through the years. And it's such a privilege to be here. But whenever you see that word, therefore, you ask, what's it there for? So you look back and you see the first 11 chapters are all about my coming to Christ. How do I get to God? I'm far from God. I'm living in darkness. I'm dead in sin and trespasses. I'm dead. And I can't get to God. And chapters 1 through 11 tell us that Jesus Christ has made a way for eternal life. Jesus Christ has made a way to get to the Father. And then chapter 12 is kind of a big break. Therefore, since you've now come to God, what should you do? Now, I want to point this out as kind of an illustration. So let's see, who would help me out here? David, would you come up here? Yeah, just come on up here, David. Let's say, how are you today?
Good, sir.
Come on up here. Have you ever been ice fishing?
Yes, sir.
You have?
Yep.
Well, good that I picked you. Okay, I've never been ice fishing. But anybody here ever been ice fishing? Raise your hand up real high. Oh, quite a few. I didn't think it got that cold here in Bloomington Normal. But let's say you cut a big circle in the ice, right?
Correct.
And people even drive their cars out there and drive their trucks out there. It's got to be really thick. And then you go fishing. Let us say that David fell into the ice, fell into the freezing water. How bad would that be? Very bad. Can you get down on one knee? Try it. I know it's hard. Okay, now David has just fallen into the water. Can everybody see? Can you living stone people over there, can you see David? What is he doing? He's turning purple. Do you see him? Now, he's about gone. Now, what am I supposed to do? Call 911, right? Look for my cell phone. Look for a big guy that might be able to help me. No, David's dead. He's dying. There goes the last few bubbles. And I've got a choice to make. And what I do is I reach in and I dive in, and somehow by God's grace, I pull David out and I break the ice and I save your life. Now, how would you feel about me, David?
I'd be very indebted to you.
Like how much?
Do we have to put a monetary value on this?
No, just like your whole life, right? I mean, really, you'd say, I owe you my life.
Correct.
That's the right answer. Good, David. Thank you for doing that. Let's thank David for doing that. You were David. You were dead in your sins. You were far from God. You were not a part of the family of God. And Jesus Christ at the cross, you see this cross right here? Jesus Christ reached down and gave you life. When you believed in Jesus Christ, when you trusted him for the forgiveness of all your sins, he brought you into his forever family. So what should be our attitude toward Christ? He gave us everything. And our attitude should be, I'll do anything for you. I'll go anywhere for you. I'll give what you want me to give. I mean, if I saw David a little later and I said, hey, David, man, could you rake my leaves? And David said, yeah, I don't know, it's kind of windy today. It's kind of cool. Really? David would probably go, you know, Paul, I'll do anything for you. Man, I'll never forget what you did at the ice. Sure, you want me to rake your leaves? I'd love to rake your leaves. You gave me life. Look at this verse, chapter 12, verse 1. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That's so unusual because when they gave sacrifices at this time, they were dead sacrifices. There were many gods, gods of farming, gods of fertility, gods for good luck. And you would bring your dead animal, you would bring your crops that had already been harvested, and you'd lay them on the sacrifice. But this would have jumped out the page at these original readers. These original hearers would have heard, a living sacrifice? What does that mean? That's you and I. That's what we do. We present ourselves. A living sacrifice. That's the first line there. Present your body. When you present your body, you present your whole life. You say, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I lay down my life for you. I'll present my body. When your body goes first, your mind, your soul, your spirit, everything follows. Have you done that? Have you gotten to the point where you say, God, I give you my body. You can do with my body what you want. That's what Paul's urging us to do. Therefore, by the mercy of God, and since you now have access to God, present your body. Number two, renew your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. I love the Phillips translation. It says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't think as the world thinks. When we're on mission for God, when we're laying down our life for God, when we're giving of our time and our talent and our treasure, the world might say, that's ridiculous. Why would you waste your life like that? And Paul says, don't let the world's thinking interfere with my plan for you. You've got to think the way I think. And God's trying to reach everyone in the whole world. And number three, think soundly. Do you see it there, verse 3? For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound thinking, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Paul uses the same word, think, four times in this verse. Now, if he used the same word four times in this verse, do you think that would have caught the original reader's attention? Think. think, four times. And what he's saying there is, don't think too highly of yourself. The word he uses there is hyper. Don't hyperthink, and hyper means above and beyond. When we moved to Texas, they said they were going to open up a Walmart. And boy, we were happy because we had Walmarts in Kansas. We have two sons right now at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville and Bentonville, and they're all about Walmart. I know here everybody's all about State Farm, and we have our, we're card-carrying members of State Farm, okay? We've got our app and everything. But in Arkansas, they're all about Walmart, and they announced that not only were they, you know, everything's bigger in Texas, do you know that? They announced that they were going to build the biggest and the baddest Walmart of them all. And guess what the name of it was? Hypermart. They already had a Supermart. This is Hypermart. That means above and beyond. And we walked in there, and there was just thousands and thousands of square feet of Walmart goodness. We used to just take our kids and let them run around wild in Walmart. The grocery store, the sporting goods store, the parts. It was amazing. But Paul says, don't think that way about yourself. Don't hyper-think about your service in the body of Christ. That means don't think too highly about what you're bringing to the church body. But he also says don't think too lowly either. See, some of you, you think too highly of yourself. Yeah, I said it. Okay? Maybe Pastor Scott wouldn't stand up here and say that. But I get to leave after this service and go get on an airplane and go back to Texas. So I'll say it to you. Some of you think too highly of yourself and your service in the body of Christ. But just as insidious and just as bad is some of you that think too lowly of yourself. Some of you walk around just kind of looking at your shoelaces like, what could I do? I mean, oh, really, what could I bring to the missionary endeavor? What could I do here at the Oak? I mean, everybody knows their role, but I just kind of sit in the back and listen. And Paul says that both of those attitudes are wrong. Thinking too highly of yourself is wrong, and thinking too lowly of yourself is wrong. So what is the attitude that Christ uses? The attitude that Christ uses is to think soundly. The word there is to think medium, okay? To think accurately. Let's not think too highly of ourselves, and let's not think too lowly of ourselves. Let's think accurately about ourselves. So what does that look like? I loved listening to Dr. Bill Bright. He was the founder and president of Campus Crusade for Christ. And he used to say it this way, bring your best offering in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results up to God. Isn't that simple? Here's Kim. She's playing her flute solo, and that's her attitude. She brings her best effort. She does it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and she leaves the results up to God. Here's Jim. He's studying at Dallas Theological Seminary. He gives it his best effort, his best offering, and he does it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he leaves the results up to God. We can't control the outcome. And we leave that up to God. So here's a challenge for you. Will you dedicate yourself to what God has equipped you to do? In this verse, look at it. Verse 4. For just as there are many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, verse 5, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Use your gift. That's number 4. Use your gift. Do you know what your gift is? Are you using your gift? Are you giving it your best effort in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God? Gifts that differ. Some have the gift of service. You should serve. Some of you have the gift of teaching. You should teach. Some of you have the gift of ushering. You should ush. Some of you have the gift of being a deacon. Start deaconing. Everyone in this room is needed. We're all needed in the body of Christ. None of you gets to leave these doors and say, well, you know, that wasn't for me. I'm out. God brought you to himself for a reason. Now, 3 mission goals. You're saying, Pettit, you're not talking me into going to India, okay? I've been to these things before. Sometimes I get close to, you know, it touches my heart, but hey, you know, I'm not going to Africa. I'm not going to Asia. Look at number 1. All can pray. Each one of you can pray. God has called all of us to pray for what God is doing here in Bloomington and around the world. Would you be committed to pray? Second, some of you can give. Some of you are able to give. Maybe you had a bad year. Maybe you're financially broke. I'm not talking to you. Maybe you don't have this ability to give right now. But you might next year. You might the year after. You might commit to start $5 a month supporting the effort of above and beyond giving. We're not talking about giving to your local church. That's every Sunday. We're talking about a missionary endeavor, giving above and beyond, just $5 a month, maybe $10 a month. You know why? Because the Bible says where a person's treasure is, what? There their heart is also. And you start giving and you start, you know, let me see that missionary letter. Because now I want to read that. I mean, I'm giving money to that person. I want to see how it's going. And I can't promise what might happen to you if you start praying. I don't know what God's going to do in your life. I'm not going to make any simple promises. God wants to use you in amazing ways. God's just asking you to step out and use your gift. And third, would you be willing to go? A few of you should go. Mike Moore went. Mike Moore lived out here and said, I'm going to live in West Bloomington. That's pretty radical, right? He incarnated himself in West Bloomington, and he was talking to us last night, and man, you could just sense the passion coming out of him. He's like, man, I got dreams. I want to do some building down here. I want to partner with Illinois State. I mean, he's just, the vision's just leaking out of him. Now, does everybody here need to go down to West Bloomington? Don't answer this, okay? You guys be quiet. Does everybody here need to move down to West Bloomington? The answer is yes, we all need to move down to West. No. But you need to consider, what's my role? Where's God urging me to go or to do or to be? Here's the geographies right here, three of them. All can serve locally. You can serve somewhere here. It might be coaching a little league team. It might be volunteering to work in the youth group. It might be teaching in the children's department. But that's not for everybody. You've got to find your gift. What's your gift that God's using? I help with placement at Dallas Theological Seminary. And I had a student, he was thinking about planting a church. Man, he was dreaming about planting a church. I want to plant a church. And he was so passionate about it. I said, that's awesome. We need more churches. And then at the last minute, kind of sheepishly, he told me, you know, I'm going to be a children's pastor. I said, what? What are you talking about? For the last year, you've been talking about church planting. You were fired up about church planting. He said, yeah, but I mean, this job offer came along and he was almost embarrassed about it. He said, you know, I'm going to be a children's pastor. I said, man, I don't know if that's you. You hate children. He was like, yeah, but you know, this is a, kind of a job and we need a job. And over the next few months, we talked him off the ledge. You know, we got him back to that vision of church planting. What is it that God's calling you to do? Serve in the choir. Some of you, you hear that music and you think, man, I would love to be singing in the choir. Step out. Use your gift and leave the results up to God. Some of you, you know who you are. You don't need to be in the choir, okay? That's not your gift. But all of us can serve locally. Number two, some of us can serve nationally. A handful of you might get involved with a nationwide ministry, something like Village Missions or Rural Home Missionary Association or Family Life or Wycliffe Bible Translators or Gospel Missionary Union, New Tribes Mission. Some of you, God's urging you to get involved in a nationwide ministry, to pray for that or to give to that or to go with that. And the third one is a few of you can serve globally. What if all of you left and served globally? That would be awkward for Pastor Scott every morning, every Sunday morning, preaching to empty seats. Not all of you is going to go globally, but guess what? A few of you might. A few of you, when we talk about going to a different culture, your heart starts beating a little bit faster. Some of you, when we talk about living in another country, you start saying, I want to do that. I want to do that. And for many, many years, this church has been a sending church to places all over the world. Think about those people 50, 60, 70 years ago. And somebody in this pew said, honey, you know, we need to go. We need to go. And today the world has become so small. In those days, they used to send missionary letters. You remember that crinkly, light missionary paper? Oh, we got a letter from the missionaries. Let's hear about it. When did they send it? 2 months ago. And now missionaries in other parts of the world, I can Skype with tonight. I can Skype with missionaries around the world. I can fly to another country in 14 hours. It doesn't mean you go and you're gone for 9 years. We'll see you later. God bless. We'll see you in 9 years. Maybe you come home every other summer. What's God urging you to do? This is a model, these last three of Acts 1:8. To Jerusalem, to Judea, and to the utter ends of the earth. Well, let me close with this saying that I like to use, because God is molding you and shaping you. He doesn't want you to be a private Christian. He doesn't want you to be an individual Christian. He wants you to be in community and on mission. So we say that God is just drawing you to himself. He's sharpening off the rough edges. And God is going to move in your life so that you start to see needs in this community and you say, I want to serve there. I want to serve in that community. And some of you, God is going to call nationally. And you're going to say, I'm going to raise my own support and I'm going to move to another city. And a very few of you, God is going to urge to go globally. And, you know, out of those three, which one's most important? Which one's most important? I mean, the global one, right? No. Oh, well, then the national one, right? I mean, it would be most important to go nationally, right? The local one is most important? All three are equally important. All three are equally important. So we say, please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. Be careful what you pray for. Be careful when you start giving. It's going to change you. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. Will you say that with me? Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. Let's say it louder because we're the oak, okay? I've heard great things about this church. The oak. Let's say it together. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. Now, I want you to look at the person sitting next to you. No, I mean really, like really look at them. Look at them. There you go. Look in their eyes. Come on, girls. Please be patient. God is not finished with you yet. Let's stand for closing prayer.